Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LeDuc. Muddy Puppy Media will present two Podcasting 101 workshops from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday, April 30th at the Lichtenstein Center for the Arts in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, and on Sunday, May 1st at Time and Space Limited in Hudson, New York. Susan Davis will lead the workshops, which will introduce participants to the building blocks of a great podcast, including true listening, the art of hosting, perfecting a sound, achieving a tone, and more. Davis is a storyteller and producer who has worked on radio shows like Marketplace, Soundprint, All Things Considered, and Talk of the Nation. Her recent podcast clients include NPR's Alt Latino, The Good Fight with Ben Wickler, Press Record, and Classical Classroom. Susan Davis, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thank you so much for having me.
So let's start by having you tell me when and where and how you discovered your sort of passion for storytelling.
I really want to be someone who says, you know, ever since I was a child, but it's not really true.
Uh-huh.
I went to graduate school to write poetry,
mm-hmm.
and had a very high-minded idea of the life of a poet, which doesn't actually exist in America now, and I couldn't be a poet. And I stumbled into the early incarnation of Marketplace, the business radio show in Los Angeles. I was out there because of a man trying to find a job, being weirdly unqualified or overqualified for everything I thought I could do, given that I was a poet. And I wound up getting a tryout at Marketplace, this is 20-something years ago, and finding that the relationship between cutting tape, and in those days it was reel-to-reel and a razor blade,
mm-hmm.
and working with poetry, that those building blocks are the same, that they're both about the distillation of speech and the importance of a meter and silence. And what happened more than anything is that I was pretty fearless as a beginner because I think of my poetry training, and then I found that I very much loved it as a craft, not just storytelling, but audio storytelling, probably because it's similar to poetry, but then it took on, for me, a life of its own, and it became about crafting a narrative where you're putting specifics in people's ear, and then they're generating even more and better and different specifics in their imagination. So that's really when it happened in between graduate school and finding my career, stumbling into audio storytelling and then turning it into a career.
What have been some stories you've worked on during your career that you had a hard time finding the audio way to tell, and then, you know, had that moment of triumph when you realized the way in and presented them for whichever show they aired on?
Wow, that's a great question. And no one's ever asked me that before. Well, I mean, this is an odd thing to say because it wasn't at all luck, but it was some kind of fortune in that I was at NPR
mm-hmm.
for 9/11, and I was working on a show in the cultural department, and the cultural department essentially shut down, and we all got dispersed all over news because it was very much all hands on deck.
Of course.
And I went to help out at All Things Considered, and what I was given was this kind of, at the time I thought, Herculean task of, and this was about a week after the actual attacks, was that I started calling and interviewing architects about the spot, about Ground Zero, and just to get their thoughts in the aftermath, because it's a real place in America. It's a real landscape, right? And it's in and out of a lot of people's lives, and it's the southern part of this very iconic city, and that part was going to need to be addressed. And architects are very conceptual thinkers, and they're colorful and interesting to talk to, but architectural concepts are incredibly hard to translate without pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess probably the triumph was when we were able to get them to talk to us on tape, talk to the host, not me, in such a way as they were taking the listeners on a tour. So it was more sort of imagine that when you first walk in, this is what you see, as opposed to I would build the following. And I realized that in that experience, the importance of point of view, the listener being in the position of the primary point of view. And then when I left NPR, where I was working on national shows, covering national news, I ran a local show here in what they call the Triangle of North Carolina. It's Raleigh, Durham, and Chapel Hill. And I got here, and a year later, this very, I'm trying to think of the exact right word, very delicate and disturbing news story happened involving the Duke men's lacrosse team. That was an incredible learning experience for me, because so much about what made that story specifically delicate and upsetting to Durham involved history and a kind of understanding of the place and the time and the relationship between Durham and Duke and a whole bunch of stuff I was not an expert in. That taught me a million things on the level of news. It really, that story was like a textbook lesson in patience.
Mm-hmm.
And not jumping to conclusions and understanding that stories like that, especially where there's accusations and defense, take a long time for the truth to out, and you have to let people do their jobs. But also that you have to let the community speak for itself, and that at some point our job as a local radio show was literally to get out of the way and just keep inviting the community into the studio and to sit down at the microphones and have whatever conversations needed to be had, civil and civilized and thoughtful and mediated and moderated by our host and our expertise, but still to get out of the way of their story and not try to force their story into any other kind of narrative. It's what we had going for us that, let's say, the New York Times didn't, is that we had access to the community. They trusted us. We trusted them. And we had a lot of time to give them because we were their radio show and their radio station. And I guess they were both lessons for me that came out of very difficult situations, and that were lessons about point of view and how tremendously important it is to have the narrator or the narrators be treated with respect, but also be at the center of it, like truly.
We're speaking with you today because you are leading a pair of Podcasting 101 workshops in our region. Can you give us sort of a preview of how the workshops will go and what bullet points you'll hit with attendees?
Yes. So I'm very excited to do this where you are, because I love that part of the country, the Berkshires in upstate New York, and it's so pretty.
Mm-hmm.
So partly I'm just looking forward to being there myself. But
sure.
Well, you know, what's interesting to me about podcasting, and part of why I think it's having this sort of explosive cultural moment, is that it's absolutely true that anybody can do it in terms of technology and equipment. It's really been democratized, and so really, truly, almost every phone and every computer can be a microphone and a mixing board.
Mm-hmm.
So that part makes it a very DIY form. But if you look on iTunes, where there's something like 200,000 available podcasts, top 10 out of the top 15 are made by radio professionals. And I don't think that's just because of distribution. I don't think it's just because serial was heavily promoted by their parent, This American Life. I think it's because podcasting is really radio on demand, and that good radio shows are made by radio professionals. And what radio professionals know that other people don't know is about audio storytelling and presentation. And so what I want to do is help people learn the thing that they can't necessarily teach themselves. So most people who can get their hands on a good smartphone and a good computer can tinker their way through figuring out how to record and how to mix. But if they don't understand the basics of storytelling, of the difference between audio storytelling and print storytelling, if they don't know what's gained in audio alone and what's lost in audio alone, it can be a longer road of trial and error before you get the podcast you want and the listeners you want. And that's what I'm hoping to do, is fast-track people on the hard part. And the truth is that good radio shows are as much about the design as it is the content. And the smart design of a radio show should be adaptable to almost any content. So you can come to my workshop because you want to make a podcast on small organic farming, about which I know nothing, but I can still help you craft that podcast, because the content is your place of expertise, but the presentation is mine. So that's what I'm excited to do, is help people take what they know and make it presentable through a podcast.
The Podcasting 101 workshops are from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday, April 30th at the Lichtenstein Center for the Arts in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, and on Sunday, May 1st at Time and Space Limited in Hudson, New York. Susan Davis, thank you very much for telling us about your craft, and we look forward to having you in the region.
Thank you. And I work with a partner who lives in your region, who's very dedicated, but we're also expanding. This summer we're going to be teaching in Mexico, and then we're going to move up and down the coast next year. So anybody who's interested and wants to check out Muddy Puppy Media, which is a Berkshire-based organization, they can find out more about the Mexico Podcasting Workshop as well.
Susan Davis will share her love of audio storytelling in two Podcasting 101 workshops in our region, presented by Muddy Puppy Media. Links to more information are posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable. You may also call Gina Hyams at 413-464-2851. That number is posted on our website as well, and that website again is wamc.org/roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.